Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The problem, as far as I see it, is that she needs her husband to get into recovery. But she doesn't know how to do that because he won't reach out for help.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Rosie McKinney, who leads Fight for Love Ministries, explains what a wife can do if she finds out her husband is struggling with pornography.
And what I'm going to say now is so simple, and it makes so much sense, but yet, for some reason, we're not quite getting there yet. And that is, what is the reason that most married men get into recovery? You know, do they suddenly feel convicted one day? Some, maybe, a small minority, but what actually gets guys into that therapist's office is their wife forcing the issue.
If this is a tender topic for you, please know you're not alone. God can redeem your brokenness. You can hear the entirety of Rosie's conversation at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Have you considered selling scrap gold or silver? Need some advice on strategies to buy gold? Midstate Precious Metals is here to serve you. Ron is a veteran, and his family-owned business is in Atascadero across the parking lot from the movie theater. Midstate Precious Metals is a reputable, certified dealer and can walk you through the process of selling coin collections or scrap jewelry. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast. Stop in anytime just to chat. Midstate Precious Metals, open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 3. Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Rest of the Story. Preparing for the Battle of the Atlantic and the Second World War, United States President Roosevelt and British Prime Minister Churchill met in Argentia, Newfoundland. Roosevelt ripped a map from the pages of the National Geographic, a map of the North Atlantic. He drew a line down the middle separating east and west. To Churchill, he proposed that everything west of the line be regarded as the American Defense Zone. The British Royal Navy would then be responsible for everything east of the line. Roosevelt further offered to protect British convoys traveling in the Western Zone, and he'd do so with American escort vessels and destroyers, and Churchill was pleased. For thus was produced the Atlantic Charter, a statement of mutual wartime objectives. Now, that meeting took place in August. September 4, a U.S. destroyer, the Greer, was attacked by a German U-boat 200 miles southwest of American-occupied Iceland. The submarine fired torpedoes. The destroyer dropped depth charges. Nobody got hurt, but FDR got angry. His orders to the Navy, attack German warships on sight. In the middle of one night the following month, another American destroyer was fired on, the Kearney. This time, a German torpedo found its mark. 11 men were killed in the blast, although the vessel managed to limp into port. The USS Reuben James was not so lucky. Affectionately referred to as the Rube, She was a trim old warship, a four-pipe destroyer. Late in October, she was sent to assist a British convoy west of Ireland. At dawn on the 31st, her direction finder locked on U-boat signals. Moments later, the explosion. A German torpedo had struck the Reuben James just forward of her number one stack. It's assumed that a magazine was ignited, for the destroyer then blew in half. Her bow section sank immediately. The rest of her followed within 5 minutes. Her crew had numbered 160 upon leaving port. After she went down, only 45 men were rescued from the icy water. Her captain and all of her officers were lost. We even know the German submarine responsible, the U-562. But this is the rest of the story. Superficial history gives the impression that the United States was shockingly, suddenly, spontaneously involved in World War II by a Japanese surprise attack in the Pacific. Yet a closer look would indicate that we declared war when it was convenient rather than when it was called for. You see, the events of which you have just learned, the explosive beginnings of the Battle of the Atlantic, occurred in 1941. In every sense, but technically legally, we were at war with Germany. We were shooting at each other, but those days did not live in infamy. For the U.S. warship Reuben James was sent to the bottom by a German torpedo, and 115 Americans went with her on the last day of October. Hey, that was a full month before Pearl Harbor. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Again, my name is Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Veeley, who's out on assignment with Calco's News. There is some good articles up there that we're going to be talking about, a few of those. I'm here with Randall Jordan, the chair of the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, no, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And we do have the text in line. You know, you can call in at 238-5775. You can also text to 238-775. So it's just a matter of how you line up those cell phone digits, whether you're making a call or making a text. But we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions. And again, we'll be going over some stories, but I want to kind of finish up with the headquarters. And we've kind of been going on all things San Luis Obispo County Republican Party here.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Well, one little side note that I wanted to mention is we've always kind of questioned the registration in this county. 2017, which happens to be the year that I was elected as chair, is when San Luis Obispo County flipped from red to blue. And we had always been a red county, and we had always been one of the last two. Orange County and San Luis Obispo County were the only two beach counties that basically encompassed a shoreline and a beach that were Republican. And Orange County, I believe, went first, I think 2015 or 2016. And in 2017, unfortunately, San Luis Obispo County flipped from red to blue. It was an influx of a lot of different folks and people from the Bay Area, people from LA moved up, and politics were a little bit different. But we'd always kind of thought that the numbers were skewed a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So this last April, they had a adjustment, and they found out that 36 people that were registered Republicans in this county were not really Republicans. They were actually declined a state, or they were Democrats.
That sounds like a reasonable number.
Yeah, there's like 36, and this is out of 5,000. Let's see, I think right now we're at about 5,000. oh no, excuse me. No, the difference is about 5,200. This is basically out of about 60,000 people in the county, that 38 were registered wrong. Well, when they did the adjustment for the Democrats, there was 1,800 Democrats that weren't Democrats.
Oh, wow.
They were registered in the wrong party, or they had been placed in the wrong party. So that adjustment helped us a bit. We gained quite a few places on the Democrats. And now I think we're at one time, we were about 7,000 more Democrats than Republicans. And now we're at about 5,200. So we're catching them, and we're re-registering Republicans. And one thing I wanted to mention is, and this has been my mantra for years and years, even on the state level. I firmly believe that people in a declined state, that a lot of them that turned independent or no party preference or libertarian, they left the party because the party wasn't conservative enough. We're always told by powers to be up in Sacramento that, oh no, we have to be the party of the big tent. We have to be all inclusive, and that's what's wrong with the Republican Party. In my opinion, it's just the opposite. We haven't held to our values. We haven't held to what we believe in for the family makeup of the party. We haven't held true to our convictions. And I think a lot of people left us because of that. Well, you can come back, because San Luis Obispo County is conservative, and we believe in the Republican ideals.
I believe you're right. You know, I definitely in this county, and I think you see that when we do countywide votes, a lot of time who's winning those votes. Mm-hmm. It's usually, you know, you look at a position like district attorney. The whole county votes on that. Dan's been overwhelmingly winning that vote.
And our sheriff.
Yeah, and our sheriff year after year, or like every 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But on that subject, we got an email. Subject was sound off question, failure of Republican voters to show up on November 4th. So I thought, since we're talking about voter registration, sure, this encompasses that a little bit. So it starts out, Randall and Eric, with only 50% of the alleged Republican voters casting their ballots on November 4th, is there a way to confirm that the voters registered as Republicans actually exist? Just as former Superintendent Chris Williams created ghost employees to inflate the district budget, could it be possible that ghost Republicans have been fraudulently registered by the opposing party to skew election expectations? If not, and it pains me to ask this, if registered Republicans are now consistently failing to vote, should Republican candidates consider running as independents? Have a great show. That's from Chris Bausch, actually. So
yeah, Chris is a great guy.
Oh, yeah. So there's kind of a lot to unpack there. But I don't know if I believe in California that there's ghost Republican.
I don't think so. If there's anything, I think that the other side is padded a bit.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're, you know, throughout the state, yeah, we're overwhelmed with Democrat voters.
Yeah.
Because the populace, especially on the coast we were just talking about, that's where everybody lives for the most part. And kind of been brainwashed that way almost, because people vote without even thinking. I mean, Prop 50, I think, proves that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, also, you know, something else that Chris isn't taking into consideration, the Dems basically run the elections. So when you look at the title and summary as how something is explained to you, if you're not somebody like Eric Gorham, or you're not somebody like the audience of KPRL that keeps up on what all the real nitty gritty in the news is, you could be fooled. You could be easily right. Fooled. I think I have it here. Yeah, this came from Howard Jarvis. This was the title.
We had a quick phone call.
Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Oh yeah, honey. Yeah, you're talking libertarianism.
Oh, we're talking a little bit about everything, but yeah, well, what do you have on your mind?
Are we on the air? Or is this
we are on the air. Yeah, you're live.
Oh, I didn't notice. All right. Well, I'm a third party. I'm a Green.
Okay.
And when you start looking at the founding of America, here we are in the 250th birthday of America, the idea of a political party that basically says, I got mine, screw everybody else. That's what the libertarians' basic motto is. Greed is good. Now, in 1776, nobody wanted to be a colony, that the king was always taking the tax dollars, never investing in the town or in the county or in the region. He was just taking the money straight to London and having a party with it. He wasn't even improving London. He was just having a party with the taxes. And that's the theme of, I got mine, screw everybody else. So no kings was a big deal, and a political party that has a theme of, I got mine, screw everybody else, is basically, to me, a traitor. At least the Greens go out of their way to improve the nature, improve the economy, improve society, but libertarians, they're just, I got mine, screw you.
Yeah, to some degree, I think you're right. I think, quite honestly and unfortunately, when you look at politics on the grander scale of things, not city politics or into some degree county politics, but you get up in that upper echelons, I think that's almost true for both parties, all parties. I mean, they get up there and they, you know, you look at people becoming multi, you know, people go in there with small net values of sometimes under a million, and they leave government with $240 million in their pocket. And I think, unfortunately, unless we all come together, and I think Republicans, Democrats, everybody should come together, and we need to hold our electeds responsible for what they're doing. I think we live in a society right now where we're ran by the government. That's not how our forefathers wanted it. We're supposed to run our government, us as citizens, we the people, and we're not doing it. We're kind of been lazy in that.
Well, it's been a long-term process to cheat America. In the original Constitution, the Founding Fathers believed that the best representation would be with a district that had between 25 and 40,000 people per district. So the original congressman in the early 1800s was, I think it was 30,000 people. That's what was written into the Constitution. Somewhere in the 1800s, it got doubled to 60,000, which was out of the sphere of the healthy society, the healthy taxation with representation. But then in 1914, you know, basically the same Congress that corrupted us by coming up with the Federal Reserve, they also decided to top out Congress at 435 members. So that the workload on a congressman got bigger and bigger and bigger by the day. And at this point, it's well over 700,000 per congressman, and in some places it's closer to a million. So that you can't even get taxation with representation when the scale is so large. And it's only getting worse every day that goes by. And the corrupt know this. They know that if they can bribe a congressman and keep them blackmailed and keep them on a leash for 10, 20, 30 years, mm-hmm. they'll never be able to get out of this trap. And the idea of then coming up with all sorts of scams to make sure that the poor are kept poor by never raising the minimum wage and never telling anybody what the real cost of living is. I don't know if he noticed it, but Elon Musk, the end of the day, they declared, oh, Elon Musk, he's going to be the newest trillionaire, the first trillionaire in the world. And that Tesla is going to give him a package of $1 trillion. Well, didn't Elon just bankrupt that company 6 months ago? Weren't they on the biggest downhill slide they've ever known? Where's this $1 trillion coming from? It's only coming from people believing the lie that they've got $1 trillion to give Elon. But if Elon goes strutting around and tries to take bank loans based upon a wish, is that fraud? And does anybody have the guts to sue a guy that's committing trillion-dollar fraud? So, you know, we're dealing with con artists on the biggest possible scale. And I just, as to wrap up, being an environmentalist, these polluters never want to clean up, and they want to keep poisoning the planet for their personal profit. And then they'll buy Congress to tell them that we have to shut off the EPA. We have to shut off the poison control. We have to shut off the health departments. We have to, anybody that gets sick and injured and comes down with cancer from their pollution, well, screw them. I got mine, screw them.
Well, I think if I can interject a little bit, I think you did make a great point. And the great point is that our founding fathers believed in a Republican form of government, where we live in a republic, and that we don't live in a democracy, which unfortunately we kind of do now. You take your cosmopolitan and your areas like L.A. and like Orange County and up in the Bay Area, and that's where the pockets of people are, and that's why the Democrats have been running this state and will be continue to run this state thanks to Prop 50. For years to come, unless we can, it's actually illegal to have in our state constitution and our country constitution. It's illegal to not have two forms of government in a republic, and we don't have that in California. So you're 100% right when you're talking about the take all for me mentality.
Well, the one thing I'd challenge you about is, what is the definition of a republic? It's anything that's not a king. It can be a dictatorship. It can be a democracy. It can be a corruption. It can be a government by the corrupt, a cacocracy. But it's anything that's not a king.
But I think our founding fathers,
Republicans, just in the last few months, have been basically claiming that anybody that tries to get Congress to respond to logic or common sense or anything else, they must be communist.
And we are out of time. We'll be right back. We're not out of time for the show, but we are out of time for that caller. We have other people calling in. I hope you'll call right back and join us when we're back. We'll be right back with Sound Off.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Hopes for an end to the government shutdown boosted the Dow for its 17th record close of the year, with the blue chip index finishing above 48,000 for the first time. Shares of Dow members Goldman Sachs, JPMorgan Chase, and American Express rose, with all three hitting record highs. Tech stocks fell and weighed on the tech-heavy NASDAQ. Valuation worries continue to pressure big tech stocks. Shares of Advanced Micro Devices rose over 8% after its CEO, Lisa Su, told analysts that the company is seeing insatiable AI demand, suggesting that its revenue growth could climb to 35% a year over the next 3 to 5 years. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, United Health, and Caterpillar. The Dow decliners, Amazon, Home Depot, and Chevron. The Dow up 327 points, the NASDAQ lower by 62, S&P 500 up 4. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Not sure what to get him this holiday? You can't go wrong with a gift from Untuckit. Every guy wants to unwrap our best-selling wrinkle-free and performance styles. From polished shirts for holiday parties to cozy layers for family photos, you'll find everything he needs to look sharp and feel comfortable all day and night. So, get a head start on your holiday gift list. Early holiday sale happening now. Find the perfect gift for everyone on your list at Untuckit.com and more than 80 stores worldwide. Untuckit. Shirts designed to be worn. Untuck.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
We see you sitting there, daydreaming about a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. Well, at Chumash Casino Resort, we're giving away over $600,000 in cash and prizes. It's everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawings every Sunday in November. Need more details? Visit ChumashCasino.com. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Again, my name's Eric Gorham. We have the chair of the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County live in studio, Randall Jordan. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We do have a couple texts here. I got to turn them. Let's see if I can read them from this far away, you know. The statistics of only 50% Republican voters showing up is about setting the narrative. There are still 3,200 ballots to count in SLO. Those that showed up on election day to vote with the precinct ballot, those ballots were counted election night, and the results were at least 60%, 63% countywide for no on Prop 50. Many of those that were diverted to drop off their vote by mail ballots at the precinct are still being counted over the next 2 to 3 weeks until certification. And then we have one more text. I almost know who sent that last one. I'm not sure.
And actually, it's not 3,200. There's 32,000.
That was me. That was my mess up. It was not the texter's mess up. That was my mess up. The definition of a republic and a democracy are not mutually exclusive. One is a form of government, and the other is a mechanicalism. I cannot speak, but I'll let you guys figure out what I was trying to say, in which that form is ran. It's amazing. This has to be explained to someone in your position. So there's that. Yeah. I don't know. I think that's Randall's fault. No, I'm joking. And we did have some callers that were trying to get in. The last caller was a little long. But yeah, so if you want to call in, call back in. We have empty phone lines. And one thing I would like to say, you know, I think that he was talking about, my mind's going blank on me, libertarians. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, while libertarians, you could make that argument that he was making, I've always thought as libertarians are as kind of leave me alone, don't tread on me. As long as you're not messing with me, I'm not going to mess with you. Small government, not saying good or bad, I'm just saying that's how I kind of look at it, is they kind of want to just be left alone to do their thing. As long as you're not messing with my property, I'm not going to mess with yours. And we do have another caller. And welcome to KPRL. What would you like to say today?
Well, Carl DeMaio. Is there any way we can get Carl DeMaio at our Tea Party meeting? And is he right about the fact we really don't have a state party, functional state party?
I'm going to give that one to Randall because he knows more about this than I do.
Wow, that's a good question. Carl was in town September 27th. We had a rally in Templeton, at a church in Templeton. We had a rally for his group, and it was a no on Prop 50 and also for his voter ID. We'll try and get Carl back maybe at the Tea Party meeting.
Why didn't I hear about that?
We tried to get the word out. We sent it out to our list, and then Carl said that he had his own list.
I didn't get Jason's message. Did Jason send out one of those robocall messages?
I think he did, but I might be mistaken. But I'm sorry that you missed it. But yeah, Carl was in town, and we had a nice little rally.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, maybe next time he's out there, we can get those calls out. Maybe say it over the air here so everybody gets a chance to come in.
He's a firebrand, and we've been giving him 100 or so every once in a while because he's all over this stuff, but it doesn't seem to be doing any good.
Well, it is doing good. So keep supporting him. Keep supporting, and I know your voice, and I know that you support the local Republican Party. Keep supporting the locals. He's right about the state party. That's something that I've been fighting. My wife and I have been fighting for about the last 12 or 14 years at the state level. We run another group that's a state group, and we have been trying to get the state party to actually be accountable. And, your local parties, your local central committees, you can easily see what they're made out of. But the state party is a little bit more, how can I say it? They're a little bit more elusive. Carl's correct about the state party being ineffective.
Progressive. Use the word.
Progressive?
A little bit.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
There was a few local things I kind of wanted to hit. We've hit a lot about the local party, voter registration. We've had our DA in the news quite a bit lately, and I think you and I, and I think a lot of the listeners kind of understand that the news source that brought this up would have been the Telegram Tribune. Karen's probably got a shotgun when I walk out. Don't mention them on this show. But they've done hit pieces on you. They've done hit pieces on Dan. They've done hit pieces on, I mean, me. They've, every elected politician that has an R in front of their name.
Yeah.
This is kind of to be expected. And, this was all in regards. If you didn't see the story, there is, I think, two stories on Calco's News. So go check them out. But Dan's reaction to New York's governor race. Is it governor race or mayor?
Yeah, actually the mayor.
Mayor race.
Mayor of New York, Mondami.
So basically, I talked to Dan last week about this too, and his thing was, I did put up a picture of the Twin Towers being attacked, before they came down. But to me, that was in remembrance. You're basically voting in America for a dictator. You're voting for a communist. Mm-hmm. You're voting for a socialist. Do you not remember any history of this country, other countries, etc.? And, he got branded by the Tribune as Islamophobic. This is no great stretch for the Tribune, in my opinion. I don't put a lot of credence in it, but the story did go national a little bit, too. And it was interesting. I was listening. I read one yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. From New York, of all places, basically saying this is... What is it? Whatever his name.
Mamdani.
Mamdani. I don't mean to say it wrong. I'm not doing it purposely, right. But anyway, they're like, this is the playbook. If you say something negative about the man, this is what he's been doing from day one. You say something negative about me, you're Islamophobic. You're a racist. You're this. So even people over there, you're not allowed to say anything negative about the man because you get casted as something you probably not that those people don't exist, but just because you don't like a socialist form of government, we're in America.
Well, I'm yeah. I am so proud of Dan, and I've always supported Dan Dow basically because of this. If he has a belief, he doesn't hide it. He wears it on his sleeve. So you know where Dan stands all the time. And the Telegram Tribune, I mean, they are so far left, it's unbelievable now. I mean, they go out of their way, like you were saying, to basically lambaste anyone that has any conservative views at all.
Right.
I'm very, very proud of Dan. I think he brought up a really, really good point. If you don't know your history, then you're doomed to repeat it. I mean, 9/11 was something that scarred every one of us in this nation, and to be such a short time from 9/11 to now to vote in a communist as the mayor of New York, it's appalling. completely appalling. And I think anybody that actually has any type of conservative or values or common sense would agree with that.
No, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. I'm just looking. So we had a text, and I'm making sure I give the right information here. So we have a texter that wants to know, when is the next Republican Party Central Committee meeting? Are registered Republicans able to attend? And what is that website information?
Wow. I like that. Okay. So it's basically next Wednesday. So 7 days from today.
Every third Wednesday, correct?
Every third Wednesday. So it's the 19th. And the meeting actually starts at 6 p.m. The social hour is from 5 to 6. And we'll basically just have light snacks and be able to visit. And yes,
yeah, this one's kind of a Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving is not, that's this weekend.
Yeah, that's
on the 16th.
This weekend. Never mind.
That's
yeah,
on the 16th.
Yeah.
Right.
Because sometimes we've done them together, but yeah, this one's separate.
But any registered Republican is more than welcome to sit in on our meetings. I welcome it, and we welcome it.
Right. And are we starting early? Is that?
We've got an endorsement meeting at 4.
We're starting at 4.
Endorsement meeting at 4. 5 o'clock, we've got the social hour, and then 6 o'clock is the meeting. And again, the website is RPSLOC, Republican Party, San Luis Obispo County, RPSLOC.org.
That's it. So thanks for those questions. So back to Dan, I think, like, you know, to me, we've seen this, and I don't want to make this about the Tribune, but I kind of feel like it is. You know, they tend to attack. I feel like the Democrat Party of San Luis Obispo County actually has its own news source.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, you don't ever really see it going the other way, although they say it's our editorial staff. Well, who runs the newspaper? Mm-hmm. That's always my question. And then I've heard Joe Tirico on other stations go, well, it's our editorial staff. And I've called in, well, who runs the newspaper? Oh, it's our editorial staff.
Right? There you go.
But they've done a lot. I mean, I used to write some opposing articles. And, you know, 5 years ago, they would put them up. They won't put them up anymore. They refuse. Or they'll say, oh, well, you know, you have to respond to our 2,300 words with 250. Well, that's not possible. And usually if you're responding as someone from the Central Committee, they will allow you the grace of, you know, being able to respond. They won't even do that now.
Yeah.
And it's just become attack after attack. I think Dan's going to weather this just fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. He's standing up for himself, standing up for what he believes in. And, I mean, that's our right under the Constitution. So,
right.
And, you know, your description of the Tribune, I mean, that's a perfect lead-in for Calcos News. What a wonderful, and actually, Calcos News is not biased. She just tells it like it is.
They're not picking a side. You know, Karen's usually trying to expose some kind of fraud or some kind of...
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they have an R or a D next to their name.
Right.
If they are a bad player...
If you go back to the Kelly Gearhart days, you know, Republicans were saying, oh, that's a Dem rag. Mm-hmm. Then if you go to the Adam Hill days, then you have Democrats saying that's a Republican rag.
Exactly.
But they don't really care who they pick on over there. They're just trying to find the truth.
They're trying to find the truth. And the corruption in our county is what Karen has always been good at exposing.
Oh, yeah. She's got a sniffer on her. She can she can find things out quickly. And then, so, you know, I think all in all, Dan's going to be good. I think a few other things. This was in Calcos News. I think there was 2 articles this week. I have a feeling there's going to be more. But we had the Paso Robles High School principal escorted off campus, I think, on Monday. And from my understanding... ticketed for drunk driving and was drunk being escorted off of campus. Since then, a lot of stories have come out that there's been many complaints about her drinking on campus that she got. And I don't know. I know there's some argument about the hit and run accident, that there was a hit and run or that she didn't actually run, or I don't know, but apparently she did get in an accident in a high school owned car, district owned car. But being arrested and escorted off campus while under the influence. That doesn't, you know, Paso has had its problems for a long time, unfortunately, and it seems like every time it gets on track, and I don't want to make this about politics, but I am, the Republicans come in and kind of save the day. You know, the school's about ready to go bankrupt, the state's going to take it over, and then the city, for some reason, votes progressives back. And they're not voting in. If you had a, you know, Kennedy Democrat, some kind of, I think everybody should be represented, but we seem to go off the tracks in Paso, and this is just one more black eye.
It's a bad day.
But we're going to take a quick break. We do have a caller. Please call back in when we come back, and we'll pick up this subject when we return to Sound Off.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. We're going to go straight to a caller. I might let the music wind down a little bit. My name's Eric Gorham. I'm filling in for Karen Veeley, and we have royalty in the house. No, I'm joking. Just because of the No Kings thing. But we do have a caller. We have two callers. Let's hit the first one. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in. You are on the air. We'll try it one more time. Are you there? Well, we're not getting that one. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in.
Yes, I sat in on all the meetings
that the employee that had made remarks on the internet about it was okay for Charlie Kirk to be killed because it was white on white.
The coach, yeah.
And they refused to even discipline that teacher, a coach. And they, and I sat in on a meeting with the superintendent where that was brought up again. And I brought it up. And she cited two cases. I said we're not on point. The third case was on point, I said. And the third case actually sustained the firing of the employee. But it didn't make any difference because the superintendent said, their attorney said they couldn't discipline the employee because she wasn't making the tweets on a city, on a school website. To me, what's the difference? If an employee is coming to school drunk, that means she was driving drunk. When she was driving drunk, she wasn't on school property yet, but it's the same thing. They did. Why are they just so afraid to discipline these teachers that are making a bad reputation for the school district?
I think to your point, I believe, I could be mistaken, but I've been told that teachers and administration, especially in El Paso, they sign an agreement that says they're going to abide by certain social and ethical rules because they are representing the school at all times. You know, I look at it in my job, I represent the company at all times. I'm sure you represent your company at all times. And, you know, but my understanding is they do sign a piece of paper that says we will behave, basically. And not that they lose their freedom of speech, but they are representing the school. And I know there is a contract that's signed. I don't know exactly what's in it, but I think it goes to what you're saying, sir, that there are certain standards the school district puts forward and you need to abide by them. Or there could be discipline, which could include being terminated.
Yeah, it was just like when the city was dealing with Ty Lewis. I mean, all of his stuff was done while he was working for the city, but they didn't want to fight him in court, so they pay him off. The same thing with the school district. They're not going to discipline these teachers because, for whatever reason, they don't want to face a lawsuit by somebody.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, one of my most famous cases I had was this guy that was going up and down the coast suing wineries and restaurants claiming ADA violations. Well, I claimed that he was the vexatious litigant, and I proved it in my case where they sued the Foster Freeze, and I won the case and got that guy, and we actually got the law changed to where they can't file an action until after 90 days notice and the business has 90 days to make the correction or not. And so, you know, it just people don't want to face up to ethical or doing things the right way anymore. They just, whatever they want to do to evade going to court is wrong as far as I'm concerned.
All righty, sir. Well, thank you for calling in. I'm going to try to one more time to get this other line to answer. I'm having problems.
Bye now.
Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in. It's still... Well, if you were trying to call in, please call. I tried to answer you twice, but wasn't able to for some reason. But call us back.
I agree with that last caller. I do. I think that there's a certain decorum and there's a certain responsibility that coach has and the principal has to the school district and to the students.
Right.
And I think both of them violated that trust. And I think that they maybe not to the same extent, but I think they should both suffer the consequences.
No, and I also believe that the principal there, if they were really, you know, drunk on campus, they drove themselves into campus, if there was a file, you know, I'm assuming they came because somebody saw her driving or witnessed her driving. I'm not sure, you know, this full story hasn't come out. And of course, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But if that is in fact true, you know, you're the top dog in that school. You're the top administrator in that school. You know the rules. I don't think there's one teacher that doesn't realize if they come to drink or they come to school intoxicated, they're not going to lose their job. So I'd hate to see this one, you know, swept under, given a sweetheart deal. Here's your $300,000 and we won't fire you. And we'll just kind of bury this and get to go be a principal somewhere else. I think Paso needs to stand up and start doing the right thing. I don't know that that's going to happen. We have a history in Paso that's unfortunate, but I think they need to stand up and show the constituents, show the people, show the parents. You know, you look at people like us, we both live out in the country. Our tax dollars still go to them. You know, mine not to Paso, but I believe yours do, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Mine would be a Tascadero. Yeah. But, look out for us.
Yeah, you look
Quit
at
looking
somebody,
out for administration and teachers.
Right, but you look at somebody like Dan Dow, who is true to his convictions. I was on a school board back in the 80s, Pleasant Valley School. Most of you know that's out there near San Miguel, out near the airport. And we had a teacher that kept a bottle in her top drawer. And the school board got wind of it. We were told by another teacher. And we terminated that teacher.
Right.
It was black and white. But this is in the 80s. This is back when... you know,
it might have even been more acceptable. I mean, it was probably more acceptable back then.
Yeah.
Not that it's acceptable, but yeah, things were different.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I agree with, like I said, I agree with the last caller. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, you know, you have to live up to your actions.
Right.
And people have to be responsible for what they do.
Right. And, you know, my understanding, there's a lot of complaints, but I think this story is going to unfold more, and I don't want to sit here and say things if I don't know if they're true or not. What I know is true is she was escorted off campus, I believe, Monday, and reports say she was intoxicated and got a ticket for driving while impaired. So, unfortunate story, because Paso doesn't need any more black eyes in their school district. You know, I think the school district and the city council... things have kind of gone sideways. Gosh, school district's a lot longer than the city council, in my opinion. But, you know, it's time to get Paso back in track. This is my hometown. I may not live here anymore, but I love Paso, and I want to see it on track. I want to see those black eyes heal and it become the town it is. This is a great town.
Oh, it is. It is, definitely.
So a few things, maybe. The shutdown, we're going to run out of time here pretty quick, but we just... What are your thoughts on this government shutdown and what's been happening this week?
Well, it's basically common sense versus idiocy, in my opinion.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, common sense says that you need to pay our workers. Common sense says that you need to open the government back up. But common sense also says that you don't need to have all sorts of baggage attached to it, like a refunding of the NPR didn't need to happen, or basically Obama healthcare tied to it. So I think that a few brave Democrats stepped up. Fetterman was one.
It took a little while, but
he's becoming my new hero.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's becoming my new hero. And, you know, they finally stepped up and they got the 60 votes and our government's going to open back up.
I'm going to tell you something I fully believe, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, but on a federal government shutdown, I believe it is always the fault of the minority party, whether it's Republican, Democrat, because they're trying to say, we're not going to vote with you unless you give us this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to pass a clean CR. And so I think in this case, you know, and it's the Democrats' fault, but in my opinion, it's always the minority party.
That's probably true. If you look back through history, it's probably true.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you for coming in. Any last words?
No, just basically, we'd love to see you guys at the headquarters. Visit either the headquarters. If not, please visit our website, rpsloc.org. And we're out there fighting for you every day.
Yep, and we have people at both headquarters, usually till 4 or 5 o'clock.
4 o'clock, from noon to 4 every day.
And, next Wednesday, we'll have endorsements at 4, and then the meeting kind of starts at 6.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals, across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.